title tonight, Proactively Overcoming. Proactively Overcoming. Romans chapter 12. Everything's all set. We're good to go, Brian? Good. Romans 12. What was that? Good. Let's start at verse 16. Romans 12. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Talk about be of the same. That's not usually the case. One person's the servant, one person's usually the person who's saying, take care of me, and I'm a bird. Feed me, feed me. But be the same mind one toward another, and love one another, and everything like that. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of estate. If churches, what's the word now, is highfalutin, where the church, if the average person think the church connects with them, they won't go to church. And that's they're very common in church. And the crazy thing is, many churches, while trying to relate to people and be on the same level with people, have said, let's go ahead and be moral like them and use music and act like them. That's not the idea. The idea is to be a normal person and put the jelly in the bottom shelf so anybody can get it. But condescend of low estate. Be not wise in your own you're very bold in the Word of God. You're very bold in knowing what God says is true, but not just because you're smarter than somebody and everybody else is just an idiot. Eventually, because there are a lot of idiots out there, and there are in our culture, people are very foolish, you can sometimes start looking down on everybody. But for the grace of God, you be there too, and maybe you are there. But it says, be not wise in your own conceits. If you know anything wise, it's because somebody else knew, or because you got it from the Word of God. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Well, they do this to me. That means nothing to the Lord. Recompense no man evil for evil. But they deserve it. And do you want what you deserve, which is hell? No. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Do not be sneaky and underhanded. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lie in you, live peaceably with all men. It does not say you can with everybody. I cannot live peaceably with all people. I can try. It says as much as lies in you. I have one person in my life I can think now that I can't get along with. And I'm doing everything possible in the world, but they're just not along withable. You just can't do it. But you say, oh, I just don't like them. They're just not nice. There are a lot of difficult people you can get along with. There's a whole bunch of difficult people that you can get along with if you'll work hard. It says, if it be possible. Now, when there's someone you absolutely, no matter how kind you are, no how much you bend over backwards, you cannot get along with them and live peaceably with them, then you just need to get away from them. But 95% of people, if you do your part, now there's some people, there's no hope. I mean, they want to fight with everybody, and then you just avoid them. As is life, then you live peaceably with all men. Dearly loved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is, and I will repay, saith the Lord. It's not your job. Revenge is God's. Don't avenge yourself. God will deal with it. Vengeance is mine. 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. That's going to a different level. So here's somebody who's not kind to you. Here's someone who's mean. Someone who you can't get along with and live peaceably. And so there's no way to do it, but they're mean to you and nasty to you and hurt you. He says, don't avenge yourself. I'll get you back. Don't do that. He's watching. God's keeping score. And God says, check, check. 3 for them, 0 for you. Let's see if you get back. And you go back and go, check, check, check. God says, okay, my hand's off it. That's all that's going to happen. Whatever you two and your petty little petty fight back and forth and try to get each other back, forget. But if you go and they go, check, 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 and they get you, and God's, I saw that. What are you going to do? Nothing. Okay, take care of it. God's check marks are better than your check marks. God says, I will repay them. Nobody gets away with anything. It's just a matter of whether you've got and trust him enough. Let God deal with enemies. Let God deal with your enemies. You don't have to do that. It says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Therefore, now this is a different level. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. It says, do not just say, you know what, I'm not going to give you. You know, let God get you. God's go to the next level and do good to them. Whoa. See, we are so far from that. We're lucky if the average person The average Christian now doesn't just get revenge. If they don't get revenge and there's let God get revenge, that's pretty, but that's not really biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is, let me be a blessing to you, help you and be a blessing and serve you. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor, and that's good. Amen. It's right there in the Word, and I like it. It's your, amen. I like that. 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The context of that verse. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our focus, is that verse right there. You are not supposed to just go. See, when you go and they're nasty to you, you're nasty to them. You were overcome of evil, and they controlled you and made you evil. Instead of being overcome with evil, you say, I'm going to treat you. Go ahead and do anything. Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. I'm praying for you. Bless you. Anything I can do for you? Your car's broke. Come pick you up and give you a ride. And then overcome evil with good. Now, it's very important that you have, because the Bible says you're supposed to proactively overcome. A lot of illustrations of this in the Bible. I think if you turn back to Luke tonight about proactively overcoming, Luke, and I'm going to turn to chapter 7, kind of be here and there in the New Testament. I'm God's servant, and I'm going to coals of fire on their head. That's not my job. And I guess a special hat for you. Forget the smoke out of it. Here, wear it. And that's not what your job is, though. That's what we like to do. And Luke chapter 7. And I'm going to pray, and we'll talk proactively overcoming. Father, thank you for the preach your word. I pray tonight that I would speak your words faithfully and truthfully. I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower those words to change lives, Father, and help grasp, Lord, I think, how deeply we need to grasp just a couple of truths out of this, Father. I pray tonight that we'd grasp very deeply coming proactively and how to be not living the life, not sinning, but living the life of doing good. And I pray to help us in these, to give us your power and your wisdom and change thinking. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this story, we have a woman, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees heard him that he would eat with him, and he went to the Pharisees and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the meat with the Pharisee's house, alabaster box of ointment, and stood at the feet behind him and began to wash his feet with tears. And story. In this story, he's at a Pharisee's house, a very religious man, a man who's you know, a Pharisee and a very religious and very ceremonial person and a very clean person and a moral, and a very sinful woman, probably a prostitute there, a very sinful woman, is washing Jesus' feet with her tears and took a very expensive box that cost a lot of money, as Tyler talked about last week, and broke it, and it was a very precious thing. And it's interesting. She was not sitting around thinking about how sinful she was. She was not thinking a thing about what Simon was doing. She was busy at Jesus' feet, weeping and washing and kissing his feet. She was too busy loving Jesus and doing some good to sit there and have a critical spirit. Why Simon sat there and said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this woman was. He's not a prophet. She's a sinful woman. And he sat there and was critical. Because he wasn't doing anything good. While one person's doing good and isn't even conscious of herself, is worried about Jesus being close to Jesus, the person who's doing nothing but going, I'm one, sat there and criticized her and criticized Jesus. If you're a prophet, a man or woman this was. See, when you're doing nothing, it's very easy for you to get in a whole bunch of people and begin to go the wrong direction and you're thinking and become critical and become busy in bad things, because we people will always be busy at something. If you aren't busy at something good, you'll be busy at bad. I think that's one reason that teenagers are in such trouble today. Teenagers have nothing to do. Teenagers used to work. And teenagers don't work anymore. And they just, we have all energy in the world. And we tell them, don't do bad. It doesn't work. Do something good. Have them go work a job. What happened to kids working summer? When I was a kid, we either picked berries in the summer, the hardworking kids from good homes, they'd pick berries in the summer or mow lawns in the summer. And nowadays, you know what they do in the summer? Or, because they don't have anything to do. They're not doing anything good. And it's very hard to just tell your kids to get in trouble if they're not doing good things. And a good youth group actually is doing good, not just trying not to do bad things in the ministry and helping people. She's busy expressing love to Jesus. It had nothing to do but find fault. Jesus said to him, verse 4, someone to say unto you, and he began to say, you haven't done a thing for me, and you've sat there And verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss, but then since the time I came hath not ceased kiss my feet, my head that thou hast not anointed, but this woman with had anointed my ointment, her sins are forgiven her, and she loves much. See, Jesus was impressed because doing something good. He sat there critically. By the way, you knew who criticized soul winners and the way they do it? Those who are soul winning. People who do anything tend to sit there because they have time to criticize. I don't have time to criticize. Busy, you don't have time to criticize other people, and because you're proactively overcoming. I'll give you a few points on proactively overcoming evil with good. Number one, you cannot take out bad and do good. Let me take Matthew chapter 12. You cannot take the bad and not do good. Biblically, that's an anathema. It's actually biblically usually worse to take out the bad if you're not going to put good in its place. You can't take out the bad without the good. Verse 43 of Matthew 12. When unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house. And when he came out, and when he is come, he said, empty, swept, and garnished, put in order. Then goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter into hell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be with this wicked generation. One of the things we find many times is to go back on the faith. And those who back in the sin, or those who grow up in a Christian home and go back. And all these different things we have sometimes that we find and restore. Many times what we find is we have to begin to fill with good because they just learned bad. Learning to do bad will not do enough for you. So you get in more trouble and you become more wicked. Why? Because you have a big void. Fascinating thing, you will find out that if you find a very busy, unsaved person who has a very full life, maybe he has a job, and he's a very busy job, and he's got a hobby, and he's got a faith. You'll find sometimes they are more moral than a Christian who is not busy. You'll find many times, I hear a pastor, an unsaved person, many times an unsaved person who has a very full schedule, has a family, maybe hobbies, he goes fishing or hunting, spends time with kids, has a job, and he's out there and he's busy with life, he's many more moral than some Christian who is not busy doing good things. Why? Because when the house is empty and nothing in it, the devil can come in and put seven more demons inside there because there's lots of room. Can I ask you today, do you have a lot of room in your life for things? Do you have room in your time? Do you have room in your mind? Is your mind full of good things? Just constantly trying to keep bad things out. How's that working for you? You cannot go and just keep bad things out, filling it with good things. You cannot fill time that way. You cannot fill your mind that way. You cannot fill your morality that way. You've got to do good things and not just take out the bad things. Christianity is not an absence of bad things. Romans, let's go to Romans 12, and where we started out, but go back earlier in the chapter. Chapter 12, many a housewife got a lot of kids and is busy running around the house to take kids, even though she might not be a Christian, is not doing a whole bunch of bad things. What do you think she's doing between changing diapers, washing clothes, and she's collapsing? Ouch. Getting some rest. And Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor which is evil, cleave to that which is good. It says, look at that, it says, do not just hate evil. It says to do that, abhor, to despise utterly, to detest utterly. You're supposed to hate wrong things, hate sinful things, and despise things, but it doesn't just say, I hate evil. That's not enough. A lot of people are good at hating and despising and liking things. But it says, don't just do that. Ooh, I'm pushing you away. You're nasty, you're evil. I'm clinging to that which is good. You see that? Because you know what? Your sinful nature, which is your nature, you push it away and you're pushing elephant on roller skates up a hill. Get away from me! Get away from me! You can't just abhor that which is evil. You can't just say, I'm not going to sin. Okay, I said, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin. It's like the golfer. Whatever I do not hit it left into the water. Whatever I do, I can't. And in life, if you're just not to do bad things, you will. Because you're a sinful person, because demons come in and fill the void. It said, one demon you cast out, you cleaned your house, emptied it out, it's all clean and nice. And the demon comes and says, I want to go back in that house, which your body house. It's empty. Hey, God, let's have a party. We got room now. Come on in. And the devil says, you cannot be not do bad, do good also. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. The Christian life is not refraining from sin. We do not go when we're discipling and trying to fix a life and grasp this, and it'll help you. I want you to be able to help people. We are not trying to go to get them trying to quit sinning. We're usually trying to crowd out sin. Okay? I want to crowd out their sin. I want them to stop doing bad things. You will not find me trying to get everything bad out of life right away. Listen, Israel, don't go in too fast. You're going to that land, you're going to go in by little, because if you go in and the things are all gone, the whole land will be open and it'll overwhelm you and everything will grow back and destroy you. I don't want people to have big voids in their life. Okay, pastor, drinking, smoking, and quit watching bad TV, quit my bad music, and I'm sitting in my living room just sitting there. Good. I'll be at that house that day because they're in trouble. Because you know what? I was going to fill it with worse than they started with. And they'll go back than they did before. I want you not only to not do bad, I want you to do good. And it's very important to grasp that. You cannot, the Christian life is more than just refraining from sinning. It is your life with good things. You can be a person totally free of sin and not be a good Christian. You can be a person totally free from sin and not be a good Christian. The greatest commandment is not refraining from sinning. The greatest commandment is loving God. That is doing something. The Christian is not, you can't just take out the bad and not good. Number two, to overcome, you must do one of two things. One, repent. Or two, conquer with greater things. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. You must either replace. Let me take, we're going to keep your finger in Romans, but let me take you to Ephesians. There are two ways to overcome. You must either replace the bad with the good or conquer with greater things. And that includes crowds out. But let me take you to Ephesians in chapter 4. Verse 20 is one of the many examples. By the way, once you're looking for this, you'll see this all over the Bible. Once you understand that this is all over the Bible. Verse 8, let him that stole steal more. Okay, Pastor, there it is. Steal no more. Isn't that awesome? Guy was stealing. Don't steal anymore. There it is, right there. It's a command. Quit doing bad things. Awesome. I agree. Abhor that which is evil. At the end of the verse. Him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, thing which is good, that he may have to give to him. Whoa, that's fascinating. The Lord didn't just say, quit stealing. He said, if you quit stealing, and go, okay, I won't steal anymore, I won't steal anything anymore, I won't steal anything anymore. Because you're going to go from stealing cigs at the store to robbing banks. Worse. You can't clean it out. It says, do not steal more, but now those who stole, you better start doing something. You turn hands and you work, and not only do you work to pay your bills, but you work with hands that you can earn enough money to help people who have need now. In other words, you're replacing the hard people and taking things from people with using your abilities and help people. The addict is great if he quits doing drugs, but he ought to go start using his ability, using what he has had of quit drugs to some people quit drugs. Otherwise, I'm not going to do drugs, not do drugs, not do drugs, not do drugs. Hey, there's some drugs. And go back. And sometimes they get a lot worse because they didn't do anything with their life. You can replace it. For example, stealing. You replace it with working and doing things. Number two, you conquer with greater things. You conquer greater things. For example, if we go back, we're not going to go there. In Romans 12, it says, not only not be angry and get revenge, go and bless them. Let's go to Peter. Let's look at these verses about not only not getting revenge, but blessing them who have been mean to you. See, the Bible doesn't say not do bad, as we said. It says bless them. First, chapter 3 and verse 9. Boy, Pastor, that's good stuff. Amen. First Peter 3, verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil. It's good. That's doing wrong. Railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you're hitherto called that ye should inherit a blessing. It says, not just don't curse them, but do good. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 through 30, or Luke chapter 6, 27 through 30, says, bless who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. It says, don't just not get revenge. I want you to overcome your need for it. And this is a strange thing. See if I can explain it. If somebody's... Come up here, Matthew. Okay? Matthew here does something wrong to me, okay? Matthew, go ahead and hit me, okay? And, he hits me. Now, I go, I'll kill him. I'm not going to hit him. I can't believe he hit me. I haven't hit him. Oh, man. It's not, he should have gotten hit. I hope somebody, I hope comes by and hits him. I'm going to hit him. But I might kick him. I said I would hit him and kick him. Didn't work too good. Okay. No. But if I say, you know what? Not only am I going to hit him, but you know what, Matthew? I don't need a blessing to you. You need any money right now? No? Great. Well, anyway, I'm praying for you. But I'm looking to be a blessing to him, because when you begin to serve somebody, you know what the strange thing is? If somebody goes and cuts me off on the highway, I kill him. But if I'm at somebody's trying to witness them and they curse me out, I want to bless them and love them because I'm ministering. And if I go beyond just not doing wrong and decide to overcome my desires and say, you know what, not only am I not going to hurt, I'm going to pray for them and love, blessing and help them. Not only am I not going to do, I'm going to go over, I'm going to bless you and love, I'm going to help you and be into you. I'm going to tell you how to get saved. I'm going to invite you to church. I'm going to help you and be a blessing to you. Even though you drugs, I'm going to love you. That takes it beyond just not sinning. It becomes easier actually to sir than to not do wrong. It's good, Pastor. And it makes it like that. You got almost something bigger. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. It's greater, and it focuses you on going and doing something great. It's just not. And by the way, you become determined. I'm going to do good for you. I'm going to help you. You know what? If you say, I'm just going to try not to go to church. It's hard to go to church. I go to church every single time the door squeaks. I'm going to be there. Easier to go to church then. If you decide to do something great and above and beyond and minister, and you don't say, not only am I going to not skip church, I'm going to go to church. And when I'm at church, I'm going to be a blessing. Then you really become good at going to church, because you begin to minister. Not only am I going to just go to church and not skip church, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to help somebody and I'm going to give us your $20 every time I come to church. Then you are, then you're awesome. God's going to bless you. But you say, I'm going to do something good while I'm going to find somebody at church. I'm going to pray for them. In other words, you are not just, I will not miss church. Okay, I am a Christian. I did not miss church. God says, okay, you sat there and you filled 18 inches or 24 or 36 or whatever and filled. You filled it, and you weren't terrible and evil and rotten, and you didn't spit on anybody at church. You didn't do anything bad at church. I went to church. I didn't do anything bad at church. Great! I'm glad you're at church. We have bad things at church sometimes. But how about you decide, I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to minister and do great things. You overcome, conquer with greater things. Not only am I going to not do drugs, and I'm not going to get drunk anymore, I'm going to go and witness people I used to get drunk with. Not only am I not curse people, I'm going to start saying things. You know what I do on my thumb or stub my toe? My kids are going to do it. It's like, glory to God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you want to do good things, not just not things. Conquer with greater things. Next, don't be idle. Don't be idle. Let's go to Timothy, chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm already in my own little world up here in myself. So if you don't like the rest and you don't like this point, then oh well. Bless me. You me? Bless me. 1 Timothy 5, verse 12. Having damnation because cast off their first faith, and all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also. And busybodies, speaking of things we ought not. You know, if you're busy saying the good things, you wouldn't have time to gossip. You don't have time to gossip and gossip about everybody. People don't do anything to help anybody. Let me say very kindly to you, as kind as I can say this, if all you have to do is be a busybody in sales matters and talk about people back and tear down people and be a gossip all the time, shut up. Shut up. So you don't have anything to say, don't say anything at all. If you have time to do that, then use your mouth for some good. But when you become idle, you have time to do bad. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Listen, why don't we get mad at the gossip as we do in Pastor Barnes? Hush, quit gossiping. You're tearing down, you're gossiping about people, and you're saying bad things, talking about people behind their back, and make people not come to church, and make people get torn down when you're praying for them. You're the one who ought to be straightened out. Okay, don't shut up. Hush thyself. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 7, yourselves know that you ought to follow us, for we be not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. We did not live off you, but wrought with labor until night and day, that we might not be charged to any of you. Not because we have not power, with my authority as an apostle, I could have gotten whatever from you. But to make ourselves excellent you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, if any would not work, neither did he eat. For we hear that there is so much walk among you disorderly, working not at all. And there it is again, but are busybodies. Now they which such we command exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, quietness, they work and eat their own bread. What does it say right there? It says they are idle and therefore they're busybodies. Same thing it said in 2 Timothy. Same thing it says they become idle and they get in trouble. And they're busybodies. They get involved in everything else. Can I tell you that if I had nothing to do, I'd be a very bad Christian. I could very easily fill my time with things. You know I don't watch bad TV? Don't have time. And I don't have cable. And my digital receiver doesn't have any stations. And etc. When you just have time to fill, your time will get filled, but not with good things. Everybody thinks busy, and everybody's time gets filled. If you are idle, go get busy with your hands and do something. If I were you, if you didn't have a job or you didn't work, I would go out and sweep the driveway. My neighbor's house said, hey, you need anything cleaned? I would do anything rather than do nothing. I'd go to the Union Gospel Mission and say, hey, can I send food to the homeless people? Go out and I'd make a basket to give to some home. I'd find something to do, but I'd do nothing. You do nothing, you're going to find yourself going to your old sin. When you become idle, you get in a whole bunch of trouble, and you cannot be idle. Find a way. If you don't have a find a job. If you don't have it, if you can't find a job, then volunteer. Go do something for the church. But or fill your time with hours of prayer and 5 hours of Bible reading. Do not sit around and do nothing. It'll get you in trouble. Last of all, and most importantly of the whole message, let your relationship with the Lord fill all the voids. Colossians chapter 2. See, we're not trying to teach people how not to sin. That's a very thing. The Bible says you become a whited sepulcher on the side with dead man's bones on the side. The Christianity is not knowing things, it is doing something. The things in him are yea, verily. Colossians chapter 2. By the way, the doctrine of men says just don't do bad things. Look at these aren't the verses I want to read. Chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why is though living in the world are subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all perish to the union, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't drink, smoke, chew, don't run at those who do. It's fine, and I don't think you should drink, smoke, or chew, run at those who do. However, that's not the Christian life. That keeps you out of trouble. Staying out of trouble is being a good Christian. Doing things for God is a good Christian. Serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving everything you have is doing that. Let God hear your voice. Look at, and if you go back in the chapter, verse 6. Ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk ye in him. Receive Jesus the Lord in simple trust in him completely. Then walk the same simple faith, trusting him completely. Blessed, rooted and built it up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught of thanksgiving. Beware lest any man see you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the not after Christ. For in him dwelleth a fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. You are complete in him. You will be filled up Christ. Chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. It is a full, rich law. Life. The Bible says, love is a fulfilling of the law. Doing something fulfills the entire law of the Bible. Loving. If you love with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love a neighbor yourself, these two commandments, on these two commandments hang the entire law and the prophets. You are loving, for you're fulfilling the entire Bible. Doing something. It is doing something. It is, and all the voids in your life will be fulfilled with your relationship with God. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 says, the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink or in sins of men. It is in righteousness and holiness and godliness. The Bible tells you that the Christian life is not you not seeing. It is you getting close to God and knowing God and loving God. Look at chapter 3 of Colossians and watch all the things that is going to say, okay, don't do this, but do in the Lord. Don't do this in the Lord. Verse 1, if he that risen with Christ, seek those with things which are for Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things. Those are things you do. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Shall he also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, doing some that are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry. So you have two problems. One, you say, don't, nothing's wrong, do what you want to do, and then preach against your sin. Wrong. You do it in the Bible. And to just say, you know what? You stinking, wicked, rotten sinner. You better quit your sin, quit your sin. And that's not it either. It's quit your sin, your filthiness, and turn to God. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. For which things the wrath of God cometh unto the children of disobedience, and then what? And you walked in times, verse 8. But now also put off all these things. Okay, here we go. Get rid of this bad thing. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, communications, lie not one another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and what's the next two words? Put on the new man with which nude after the knowledge of him. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, the elect of God. Verse 14. Above all these things, put on purity. See, people don't get the put off, and you try to put your, you get stinky, grungy, nasty old clothes, and you say, I'm a nice clean suit over this. No, put it off and take a shower. Then somebody else says, okay, I took off dirty clothes. Hi. No. Put something on. It's not to put off your dirty clothes, folks. Put clothes on. Please. And it's Christian life. They are both important. You just put off, you put on. You don't just bad, you do good. And put on charity. Bond of perfectness. It had all over there. And you can see that. Let me take you back to James chapter 4. We'll probably finish up there. So you quit sinning. You're not killing people anymore. Good. Bare bodies are all around, all out of your trunk. Awesome. Now, why don't you go help somebody? You know, and you're not beating your wife anymore? Awesome. Shouldn't beat your wife. Now, are you loving your wife? Because it commands you not only to not be mean to your wife, so to love your wife. I'm not a bad parent. I don't beat and hit my kids, and I feed them. That's it. You love them and are kind to them and teach them things and parent them. It's not enough to just not do bad. James chapter 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore, the friend of the world, is the enemy of God. Do you want the world, or do you want me? It's fascinating. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If I love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot continue to with loving of the world and love God. It's impossible. You must put off the world before you can love God. Because God said, if you love the world and you me, you're an adulterer. So you must put off the old love, and you must take on the new love. If you do both those things, then you don't get it. Why does the world anymore? Okay, the people called aesthetics in the second and third century, and they decided they were going to put off everything and every evil thing in the entire world, and they didn't have any spirituality to them. They just quit doing, and they were nuts. One guy said, I'm just going to die to myself. I'm going to live on a pillar the rest of my life, and I'm going to bow down all day to God on that pillar all day. For 56 years, Simon the Pillar Saint sat there and bowed down to that pillar for 56 years. Pillar. Okay, you didn't do anything wrong up there. I'm sure you didn't, you know, weren't temptations up there. But good. You just denying yourself is not enough. You got to do something good. And you try good, and you can't get rid of your bad is enough. You got to get rid of the bad and take the good. Verse 5. Do you think the script saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust envy? But he giveth more grace, where he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself for to God. Resist the devil, flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's not enough to afflict yourself and mourn, as verses say. It's not enough for you to not do wrong. It's not enough to cleanse your hands, you sinners, but you need to cleanse your hands, or you won't get close to God. But then it says, draw near to God. And this is the whole thing. Everything that Christian life, drawing close to God. Knowing Him, loving Him, and all of a sudden, here's your sin. You say, Lord, I want to get to you. God, get rid of this first. Okay, Lord, I'm getting rid of that. I love you, and I'm cleaving to you. I'm loving you with all my heart, and close to God. Many people, okay, I got rid of this. I'm a good Christian now. Clung to God. You haven't got close to God yet. It's all about loving the Lord and being close to Him. These things hinder you. You overcome the evil with the good. You fill a void in your life with the Lord and with doing His work and all those things. Crowd out the bad. Draw nigh unto God and He will draw unto you. Are you close to God tonight? See, because you just try not to do bad and you're not close to God, you have a void inside of you that only God can fill. You need to be close to God. Here's the way we approach. It's almost like with the stronghold, and we'll close with this. Almost the stronghold is like you and your little of life, and you've got your little island where you dwell, and a little walkway out to it. And on that island, you are there is your stronghold monster on the island with you. And this monster can hit you and beat you and scratch you and kill you, and your stronghold can't. It can just keep on destroying you. And you keep on trying to fight the thing. You keep on losing it and keep on losing it and keep on losing it. And all you do is run around the empty island. And it chases you around and beats you and claws you. And you say, why can't I get victory? Try, but this thing's stronger than me. What we try to do is, okay, let's invite friends and some things on the island. And pretty soon you get some good friends in there. And pretty soon you get your Bible in there. And pretty soon, figuratively, some good things in the island. You get a house. You get the and you start filling up your island. And then you just fill it with good things. And all your good friends come there. Strong people come there. And pretty soon the Lord comes there. And pretty soon that monster who is attacking you can't quite go through the crowd. And pretty soon, if you do it just, you go to church a whole bunch and read your Bible every day, pray a whole bunch, and love people and ministering and get your mind off yourself and praying for people and praying for revival and handing out Bibles and doing the right thing, filling your life with good things. And all of a sudden, you see this old monster that used to beat you all the time. And going, hey, whoa! And you're strong on because you did so many good things. Instead of fighting the same thing, and you know what? You left so much void, here comes another monster. Are you close to God tonight? Or is the Lord feeling, are you proactively overcoming the wrong? Are you bringing the good and getting close to the Lord and loving Him with all your heart? Are you just trying not to sin? How's that working for you? It didn't work. You left one demon, cleaned your house, and got seven more. You need to go and not be. You need to take out that and fulfill with the good. You must overcome by replacing and conquering. And that's not hating people now, but I mean you're going to Christian. You're going to love and bless them. See, that's overcoming. It's something great. Tonight, I hope you grasp these truths. They'll help you, a good Christian. Otherwise, you're just going to keep trying not to sin. Or pray good. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that we would be people who come evil with good, that draw to you and love you with all our hearts, Father. Lord, I think the message, you said it in many different ways, same type of thing, but help us proactively overcome tonight. I pray tonight that you speak to us and help us all to be close to you. Thank you for your word that teaches us. Help us to be full of good, conquer evil with good, and not just try and sin. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I think you get such. I'm not going to do a whole bunch of to try to get you to come up here. Do you crowd out the bad? Are you going to start doing good? Do you want a ministry? You don't have to be a pastor into the ministry. Do you want to start doing good to people? Praying and good things. Do you want to draw close to God? Are you close to God tonight? I'm not how many things you quit. We're not trying to do that. We're crowding the bad out. We're replacing a bad thing with a good thing. Do you know God personally? Oh, to see that the Lord is good. Come get close to God and you have all the voids filled in your life. Do the things of God. Quit trying to just stop sin. That won't, even if you could, it would make you a good Christian. You need to love, serve, and love the Lord and be close to Him and make a difference in the world. It's about our eyes are closed, but God spoke to my heart tonight. I need to go crowd some bad out. I need to proactively overcome in my life. God spoke to my heart. Pray for me, Pastor. You sleep hand up right now. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to proactively overcome in my life. I need to do. I know exactly what I need to do. God spoke to my heart tonight. God bless you. You can put your hands. Will you quit trying to just not be angry with the person? Will you try to be a blessing to him? We quit all those things, trying not to sin, but try to do something great. You know what? Tyler will play tonight, but stand tonight, and as soon as he plays, I want you to stand. Everybody's standing. As soon as he comes, come tonight. Come tonight. Everyone's standing, come tonight. If God spoke to your heart, you raise your hand, come tonight. For somebody else, come. Proactively overcome. Boy, that drives me crazy. I just can't stop hating them. That's because you're not trying to bless them. Doing good. Are you close to God? Are you close to God tonight? Are you doing the good things? Are you conquering? Are you abhorring that which is evil and that which is good? They're both important. Are you falling in love with Jesus? Or are you just loving the world? Or are you loving the world and so you can't really love Jesus because he's competing? If I could just tonight to get the family to not try to just not be a bad family and not be a bad parent, but what are you doing good and how are you raising your kids to be great? If you're a single person, you're just not adultery or fornication, but are you doing good things? Are you using that extra time that those of us who don't have to go do good things for God? God wants you in a special way. There's a lot to do good. A Christian life is boring if it just rules. It's a relationship. Pray together. Father, Lord, we look at this example. A simple example came to mind, Lord, and I think you put it there, of Mary weeping, washing Jesus' feet, and Simon sitting back there criticizing. One was too busy loving on Jesus to criticize, and one just sat there and criticized. Father, I pray people who go out, and not only are we people who don't sin, and I hope we are, Father, because we don't want to sin, but people who are doing great things for you and make a great difference in this world, Father. Thank you, Word. We sure do love it. Thank you all. Oh, Lord, there's so much scripture. I could have read the put off and the pun and the abhor and the Eve and so many things, Father. There's so many things that I could have read. So much in the scripture. So many directions. The same truth. It's all of your Word, Father. So often it's not preached in its wholeness that you proactively become evil. We just got to quit trying to not do bad. Lord, help us, every hand that was raised tonight, every person, to overcome evil properly in their life and to go forward, to do it on purpose, Lord. And become great Christians because they're in love with you and draw nigh to you. And they don't cleanse their hands, but they draw nigh to you, Father. Thank you for your word that tells us these things. We pray for victory. We pray for us to do good things, Lord. And I pray we do great things. We thank you that we can do those things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody once said, a good Christian, a busy sinner. A good Christian is a busy sinner, and I think it's true. Do not, there are too many bad things. Listen, in some parts of the world, one of my was saying, there were some immigrants that were sitting there, and we drove them multiple times on a Sunday, and they were all sitting, tailgate open, sitting in the back of the truck, just watching people. You know what I'm talking about? Sitting and watching people all day long? Now, my son says, how in the world do they do that? I mean, what do you just... In the world, sometimes there's nothing to do. You're just sitting there. I mean, in this slow part of life, simple, and you just, hey, a person. Oh, look what they're wearing. What they're doing. I mean, in our lives, is it? We can't sit 5 minutes. We are just, duh. And so we of all people in the world better not have a lot of time, because you know what? When our mind's too idle, I have to read my bed every night. And I've told you that before. Why? Because my mind goes a million miles per hour. And I think about everything I sleep. And it doesn't always think about good things. I tend to all of a sudden start going to problems. And when I get worried, I can't sleep. Toss and turn all night. You got to do good things. And got to finally got that sinner walking the aisle. But you do good things. And you have the good things. It is not.